Hello, everyone, and welcome to Power Play for Friday, June 9th. Keep calm and carry on. That's Theresa May's message after suffering a devastating blow in the UK election. The Prime Minister's big gamble to call a snap election backfired, and now major questions about what's next and what the results mean for the future of Brexit negotiations. Also ahead, the International Development Minister launches what the government is calling a new feminist development policy, money going to organizations that promote gender equality. So why are critics concerned? We'll also chat about the latest jobs report. Analysts were predicting 15,000 new positions for May. Instead, more than five times that number were added. Coming up, we'll talk to the Employment Minister about Ottawa's strategy for youth employment, where there is still significant room for improvement. And also, Canadian troops heading to Latvia to lead a major NATO operation to ward off Russian aggression. Mercedes Stevenson will bring us the latest on the ground from Riga. But first, a stunning defeat for the British Prime Minister.
And I will now form a government. A government that can provide certainty and lead Britain forward at this critical time for our country. This government will guide the country through the crucial Brexit talks that begin in just 10 days and deliver on the will of the British people by taking the United Kingdom out of the European Union.
Putting on a brave face, but a huge blow for her. May had called the election early, confident she could secure a stronger mandate. Instead, she walked away with 318 seats, eight shy of a majority, while her main adversary, Jeremy Corbyn, who many had dismissed during this campaign, captured 261 seats. The Labour leader clearly thrilled with the result there, but clearly needing a bit of practice with his celebratory high five. Let's bring in CTV's London Bureau Chief Paul Workman now. Paul, perhaps you could give him a few tips with this high five. Let's get to May, though. She is vowing to stay, vowing to form a government. How will she do it?
Well, not just a government of certainty in a country where there's a lot of uncertainty right now. She's going to go to a very small party, a right-wing party in Northern Ireland that has 10 seats, and that's enough to prop her up and allow her to have a slim majority going into what are very crucial Brexit negotiations. So it is marginal. There is a lot of doubt about what she is going to be able to do, doubt about her weakened position and how well she is now going to be able to deal with the European Union in those talks. So it is a huge setback for her, for this country, really going into those talks. And there is a great deal of political turmoil right now.
There certainly is. I read a headline somewhere, people calling Theresa May the British Hillary Clinton, in the sense that going into this election, she was riding high in the polls, obviously, but came across as stiff, didn't run a very good campaign, didn't connect with the voter as well as she could have. You follow this closely. What do you feel were her major stumbles?
She's a very distant woman. She is insecure, I think, campaigning. She doesn't like it very much. She comes across as being quite nervous. She doesn't like to talk to people. That the voters saw and felt, I believe. Also, there were many U-turns and policy misstatements and missteps during their campaign, and that really hurt as well. You could see the polls dropping on one particular moment when they made a policy misstep on welfare benefits. So a lot of mistakes. Theresa May calling an election 3 years early when she already had a majority, that didn't sit very well with the people of Britain. When you put it all together, and the fact that I think a lot of others wanted to punish her for the Brexit vote, the Brexit referendum, last year, it all came together as a big loss for Theresa May.
The other part of this story is what happens to the Scottish independence movement here. What do you see? Is that a campaign whose momentum has now been suspended? Has it been crushed? Because they also lost quite a few seats of this election.
The Scottish National Party did badly. But you have to remember that they did very well just 2 years ago in the election. So there was going to be some losses of seats. I think they accepted that. But there were a lot more than they probably figured they were going to lose. So yes, now it really does punch a hole in Nicola Sturgeon's plans to hold another referendum. There are a lot of people here saying that, the referendum is off. Independence for Scotland is now off for the time being.
All right, CTV's London Bureau Chief Paul Workman. Paul, always a pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks.
And for more analysis, let's bring in Ashley Prime, Managing Director at Navigator. He joins us now from London. So, Ashley, what went so horribly wrong for May?
Well, I think if you look back to 6-7 weeks ago when she called the election, she was on pretty firm territory. She had an almost historic lead against the Labour Party, who seemed at best in disarray. She wanted to be able to go into the Brexit negotiations, which start in a few days' time, with a stronger mandate. She had a small majority of around 17 MPs, and she felt that, you know, that was the right time to go to the country. She labelled it, and I think this is the first error, she labelled it as a Brexit election. So that's why she wanted to go to the country, to get a stronger hand going into the Brexit negotiations. The problem with that is, I think that when asked, indeed both her and the Labour Party, you know, what are your visions for Brexit? Where is it going to take the United Kingdom? Where do you think we're going to be in a few years' time? She was never really able or articulate what that clear vision was for Brexit. So with the sort of that gap, if you like, that vacuum that was created, people started to sort of talk about things that really worried them, you know, and that by that I mean kind of regular stuff like healthcare, our security, particularly after the terrorist attacks, pensions, the economy, austerity, kind of usual sort of left-right politics issues.
Which
people wanted
to
really know about.
I suppose usurped the narrative to some extent.
Well, that's right. And actually, that's where the election was fought on, regular issues, if you like. So I think that was her first mistake by calling it a Brexit issue, but then actually not able to speak to that. I think it was felt, too, that UKIP were on their way out, and those votes would go to predominantly to the Tories, even in Labour heartlands, and that never really happened. The UKIP vote went both ways, both to Labour and to the Conservatives. One cannot underestimate how well Jeremy Corbyn has performed. Nobody, I think, you know, including myself, I have to admit, really felt that he was going to do anything but sort of fall away absolutely hammered. They were talking about a 100-seat majority only a few weeks ago. And he was able to connect with the people, and particularly the younger voters.
A lot of people had dismissed it. You're right to say. I want to get to him. We've just got a couple minutes left, Ashley. So I do want to ask you this next question, mm-hmm. because you've touched on it already, and that is about Brexit negotiations. They're set to begin in about 10 days' time with the EU. Given this stunning result in the UK yesterday, how much weaker is Britain's negotiating power now?
Well, I think that, you know, definitely, you know, looking at it from this side of the channel and actually from an EU perspective as well, mm-hmm. Theresa May is a weakened prime minister. She is a diminished prime minister who's going in to negotiate with a much smaller hand. And I think, too, that although she's really come out and said, you know, she's got this agreement to work with the DUP, she's going into the Brexit negotiations, but you know, I just can't see her having the strength that she was looking for to give her a wider mandate.
And let's bring in Corbyn quickly, since we've got a few seconds left. Obviously, a mm-hmm. great result for him. He was all smiles. He was celebrating. What does the future of the Labour Party look under him?
Well, I think now he's got himself a much bigger mandate. And my view is that if he's clever, and I'm not sure he would do this, but if he's clever and can bring in people from the more centre ground of the Labour Party, so broaden the church, if you like, he stands a far better chance whenever the next election will be. And I think that will be coming up probably a lot sooner than we think with a minority government.
Politics, certainly never a dull game. Ashley Prime joining us from London. Thank you so much, Ashley.
Thank you, Omar.
And across the Atlantic in Washington, U.S. President Donald Trump called the U.K. election result surprising. But focus in the U.S. Capitol was on the fallout over yesterday's testimony from fired FBI Director James Comey. Today, Trump accused Comey of lying under oath and said today he was willing to testify under oath to contradict Comey.
I want to get back to James Comey's testimony. You suggested he didn't tell the truth in everything he said. He did say under oath that you told him to let the Flynn, or you said you hoped the Flynn investigation, you could let
he could I didn't let go. Say that.
So he lied about that.
Well, I didn't say that. I mean, I will tell you, I didn't say that.
And did he ask you to pledge his
And there'd
loyalty?
Be nothing wrong if I did say it, according to everybody that I've read today, but I did not say that.
And did he ask for a pledge of loyalty from you? That's another thing he said.
No, he did not.
So he said those things under oath. Would you be willing to speak under oath to give your version of those events? 100%.
I didn't say under oath. I hardly know the man. I'm not going to say, I want you to pledge allegiance. Who would do that? Who would ask a man to pledge allegiance under oath? I mean, think of it. I hardly know the man. It doesn't make sense. No, I didn't say that, and I didn't say the other.
So if Robert Mueller wanted to speak with you about that, you
would be glad
to
tell him exactly what I just told you, John.
Quite the heated exchange. Still on the program, we get a reality check on today's announcement of a new feminist foreign aid program. And we head to Latvia, where Canadian troops have been deployed to assist in the NATO exercises in the Baltic region. Stick around.
Our new feminist international assistance policy is the most ambitious and progressive in the history of Canada's diplomacy. It will make Canada a global leader in promoting gender equality and the empowerment of women and girls.
International Development Minister Marie-Claude Bibeau earlier today unveiling what the government is calling a new feminist development policy, $150 million over the next 5 years to women's organizations in 30 countries. But here's the catch, none of it is new money.